go Wabasha Kellogg Falcons. From all of us at Rio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDM.
Everybody's asking what the hell happened, wondering why it all went wrong. Mama always said, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. And I've got my side of the story, and he's got his side too. So I ain't gonna go and tell you what he did, but I'll tell you what he didn't do. Treat me right.
Michelle Franzen. Senators will take up a vote on a stopgap measure to end the government shutdown today, but it's not expected to pass. Democrats say they will continue to demand slashing Medicaid benefits, that they be restored, and health care premium subsidies be extended. ABC's Karen Travers says there are no talks.
One thing from the White House end of this, they have made it very clear they are not willing to negotiate with Democrats on the issues that Democrats are demanding right now on health care. They say that that cannot happen while the government is shut down. Those conversations could take place if Democrats vote to fund the government.
Secretary Pete Hegseth announcing the U.S. carried out a strike on another alleged drug boat from Venezuela. It comes after President Trump informed Congress the U.S. is formally engaged in a, quote, armed conflict with drug cartels. That according to a confidential memo obtained by ABC News. A sentencing hearing underway for Sean Diddy Combs. He's facing years in prison on prostitution-related convictions. This is ABC News. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, with organizations appealing for donations to help fight the disease with testing, research, and treatment options. It's also a time, analysts say, for those giving money to do their homework. One fundraising group recently slapped with fines for deceptive advertising.
Around 84,000 people donated their vehicles to Cars R Us on the promise that proceeds would pay for breast cancer screenings for low-income women. The Federal Trade Commission says a tiny fraction of the funds went to that purpose. The lesson?
You should always, always do your research before donating to a charity.
Oklahoma Deputy Attorney General Melissa McPherson says CharityNavigator.org is a good start.
You can also visit the IRS's website to see if they are a tax-exempt organization.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A comet from another star system swinging by Mars as a fleet of spacecraft tries to get a good look. That comet will hurtle within 18 million miles of the red planet. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your priceless vinyl collection. Sure, you sleep on a futon because the money most people would have spent on a bed you spent on more records. But forget the fact that you can stream just about any song ever created for a few dollars a month. No, no, you need to listen to music in the most difficult way possible. So go ahead and get Progressive so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. An important milestone at Wisconsin's troubled youth corrections facilities.
The Wisconsin Department of Corrections announced Thursday as it has reached full compliance with 50 orders placed by the federal government on Lincoln Hills School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls. The orders stem from a 2015 raid and investigation at the Lincoln County facilities that showed widespread abuse and lack of supervision. A subsequent judgment against the state resulted in the court orders and $25 million in fines. Governor Tony Evers has made closure of Lincoln Hills Copper Lake one of his top goals since taking office. The process to open a new youth corrections site in southeast Wisconsin continues. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Another confirmed case of bird flu in Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection on Wednesday confirming highly pathogenic avian influenza in a Jefferson County commercial poultry flock. DATCAP and the U.S. Department of Agriculture coordinating a response. The affected area is quarantined and about 520,000 birds will be depopulated, according to a news release. This case follows one reported last week in another Jefferson County flock with about 3 million birds. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Manitowoc County veterans asking for help after being repeatedly having claims denied by the Veterans Administration.
Tyler Ponsloff joined the U.S. Air Force in 2009. During his time in the service, Tyler suffered several injuries to his knees and back, eventually causing his medical discharge in June of 2015. Since then, Tyler has begun dealing with a wide array of issues, leading to him being unable to work. But the VA has been no help.
They have no problem denying our claims because they don't care.
Those who would like to help support Tyler in his financial struggles are encouraged to visit his GoFundMe page. I'm Ryan Braum reporting for the Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for a sunny to mostly sunny sky into your Friday afternoon. Southwest winds on the light side. Quite warm with highs in the upper 80s. Tonight, upper 60s and mostly clear skies. Sunshine and breezy Saturday, upper 80s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 80 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Markets missed the monthly jobs report this morning. And the markets, are they really flying blind without the government reports? California took another important step to bring E15 to the West Coast. And, of course, we'll get the latest on the potential for a financial aid package on this week's Free for All.
Live from the final lap via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. First, we'll get reaction to the E15 news out of California from Robert White of Renewable Fuels Association. Then it's the Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer of Wiesmeyer's Perspectives and Tyson Redpath of the Russell Group. Right after the news with Michelle Rook, we'll hear from Jennifer Scheich of Farm Journal's Pork. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk. Darn if I know why he's so happy this morning. Chip Flory.
Go Cubs go, baby. Go Cubs go. You know it. You know it. Bring on the Brewers. Come on. Now that I'm out of the state of Wisconsin, I'm going to speak freely. yesterday when I got done with the afternoon show, I just gave it a quick, go Cubs. You should have seen the dirty looks I got from the aisle as people
lucky.
Were walking by Big Apple Joe.
You're lucky
I mean,
you got
come
out
on.
Of there. You had a rental, right? You didn't have the pickup truck with all the Cubs stickers on it?
No, that's right. That's right. I had a rental, and that was probably a good thing. Yeah, it gave me a little bit of cover to get out of town, so that was good. That was good.
Yep.
Holy smokes. Yes, the Cubs finished off the San Diego Pop. Last night, got to listen to that all the way home from the World Dairy Expo, and that was good entertainment. Good.
Well,
entertainment.
Like we said before the game, as a Notre Dame fan, my particular interest in this forthcoming series is that Craig Counsell played baseball for Notre Dame. I'm a big fan of his. His coach when he was at Notre Dame is Pat Murphy, the manager of the Brewers. I'm also a big fan of him. So as a fan, I'm kind of not, I wouldn't say I'm rooting for both. I would say it's edge to the Cubs.
Okay.
But I like both managers a lot.
and it's only because of their participation and success at Notre Dame.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good indication that we're going to see some similar strategies between the Brewers and the Cubs in this next series, and it's just going to come down to which team. Both teams have got really, really good pitching this year. It's going to come down to the bats and see who can get can put the ball in play. So, All right. Thanks, Big Apple Joe.
You bet.
Hey, welcome to AgriTalk. It's Friday. We've got the free-for-all coming your way here in a little bit. Wiesmeyer, Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group is going to be in with us today. And, of course, right now, Michelle Rook, the Markets Now editor on agweb.com, national reporter for Ag Day. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Chip. Glad you're home from Dairy Expo.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time over there, that's for sure. But I'm kind of happy to be back here myself and enjoying this beautiful weather. All right, what do you got in the news?
Well, speaking of the Weather Service reports east of the Rocky Mountains and existing upper ridge will promote average to well above average temps for most of the Corn Belt pushing along harvest. Record high afternoon temperatures in the mid-80s to lower 90s and record high morning low temperatures are likely to stretch from the northern plains into the upper Mississippi Valley and Great Lakes over the next 2 days.
We're heading for a high of 87 in northeast Iowa today. 87!
Yeah, we got very close to 90 degrees here yesterday in northeast South Dakota. That's unheard of for this time of year. Yeah, we're getting a few more details, as you mentioned earlier, on the trade aid package the Trump administration will announce on October 7th. Reports now from Politico and the Wall Street Journal indicate the package could total $10 to $14 billion. Now, the first portion is expected to be funded through USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation. That's what they used in the 2018-19 trade war. Now, while Trump is also floated using tariff revenues. Now, the aid is primarily going to go to soybean farmers who've been hit hardest by the China trade war, but some other commodities may benefit. The slowdown of ag sales to China in 2025 is not an isolated event. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Market Intel Service said in an analysis released yesterday, it is part of a longer-term trajectory in which China is diversifying away from American agriculture.
Yes.
No big news there.
No big news there. It's certainly not fresh, but we've got to remember that that has been the trend.
It has, absolutely, and I would say Brazil and China have been pretty cozy for the last several years. Yeah. Yep. Thursday, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed Assembly Bill 30 into law authorizing E15 at retail fuel stations across the state while the CARB board completes a study on whether the blend can meet the state's clean air requirements. With this action, though, E15 is authorized for sale by all 50 states. Big one there.
Robert White's going to be on here in just a couple of minutes talking about some of the workshops he's been doing in California.
Great. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said late yesterday the Senate will hold votes on the government shutdown today, but efforts are likely to fail. He did not expect the Senate to hold votes over the weekend. That would extend the shutdown to at least next week. Meanwhile, a coalition of farm groups wrote leaders in Congress urging them to quickly pass a measure to reopen the federal government. And Thursday, the Iowa Department of Ag and APHIS reported a case of high path avian influenza in a commercial turkey flock in Calhoun County, Iowa. This is the eighth detection in 2025. And HPAI also confirmed by the Wisconsin Department of Ag and a commercial poultry flock in Jefferson County. And finally, the Cargill Fort Morgan, Colorado beef processing facility will be closed for 10 days starting on Friday, October 3rd. For planned maintenance. So that would be today. This summer, Cargill announced a $90 million investment in the facility. That's a look at your news.
Excellent. Thank you, Michelle. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Your story this week, it is just more proof that when you bring animals into the mix, weird things can happen.
For sure. Yeah, a pretty freak story happened this week. There's a trailer that had four gilts on it heading home from the Exarban Stock Show in Nebraska. And just a crazy turn of events happened. The driver of the truck, Chad Reek, was heading down I-80. And the traffic started to pile up and realized that there was a car burning alongside the road up ahead. And so it had just happened. There weren't any rescue vehicles there. So all the traffic was just slowly, you know, going around it. Yep. Just like, what else are you going to do? You can't just stop. Yep. So right. He gets around it, doesn't really think much of it. But then all of a sudden he notices smoke coming out of the backside of his trailer. At first he thought it was just a little smoke. It kind of got in as he passed by. But maybe he had a tire problem. So he kept his eye on it. Maybe went down the road a mile or two and a semi was flashing him to get over. And he got off, luckily, at a nearby exit, jumped out and realized that his trailer was on fire. So really a devastating story. He had four show pigs in there. One had just won third place overall breeding guild at Exarban. And they had plans to take her to the American Royal. Unfortunately, a little tiny ember must have somehow went in through the open window. And, you know, I talked to a firefighter who's also a show pig dad as well, who came on the scene, and he said, it's just bad luck lottery. Those things just don't happen. I mean, yeah. you could never make that happen again if you tried. So lots of details on the story online that I can't get into, but an incredible story, incredible loss, but a great story of how the show pig industry came around and supported him and helped him out and showed up roadside.
Yeah, that's where the story gets really, really good, the way that the community came around to support. Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Thank you, Jennifer. www.porkbusiness.com. Free for all next.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
When the game is on the line.
Can I get my physical therapy at Amplify Health in Mondovi?
You sure can. Just ask. I'm Jennifer Plates, physical therapist here at Amplify Health in Mondovi. Physical therapy offers patients access to a range of rehabilitation services like treating back and neck pain, general orthopedic conditions, pre- and post-surgery rehab, balance and fall risk assessments, workman's comp, and school sport injuries. Talk to your healthcare provider to schedule your physical therapy appointment locally at Amplify Health by Gunderson in Mondovi.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Friday morning.
That means that it's time for the free-for-all. So let's get this thing started. Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives Podcast, Ag Bull Media. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good, Chip. Lots going on, as you know.
Oh, man. The long list of things that you have been writing about, reporting on, and offering perspectives on this week. This has got to be right up there with one of the most active weeks you've ever had.
Yeah, and it keeps on going as we speak, you know, with, as you said, the Canadian prime minister is coming next week, the prime minister. We have to see on a vote today on getting the government resurrected here, and we got a lot more.
Gotcha. All right. Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group out in Washington, D.C. Tyson, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Chip, I'm great. I wonder why I've never been invited to Jim Wiesmeyer's podcast. I'm a little hurt by that.
You will be.
I didn't know he had a podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's something that both you and me will have to take up with Jim at some point in the future. All right, guys, I want to start this off with a conversation about some action that took place out in California this week. And joining us to give us some perspective, Robert White, Senior VP, Industry Relations and Market Development for the Renewable Fuels Association. Robert, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good, sir. Thanks for having me.
Glad that you are here. Governor Newsom out in California signed the bill that is going to allow for the sale of E15 in the state of California. You've been out there helping the industry and various stakeholders kind of prepare for this day. What have you been doing, Robert?
Well, let's back up just a second. I was sitting here, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and we started this process before she came alive here in this wonderful world. That's how long this process has been going on. And I got to step back and thank the RFA's leadership and some technical and regulatory staff that aren't even around anymore. Unfortunately, this process has taken forever. CARB drugged their feet. And we finally got the attention of the governor, got the attention of the legislature, that finally said, enough is enough, CARB. Not only did Governor Newsom say, you've got to get your act together. We need lower price fuel. We need more liquid fuel, which is ironic in the grand scheme of things. And then the legislature, with our assistance, got AB 30, this new piece of legislation that said, if CARB does not have E15 approved by July 1st, when the governor signs this piece of legislation, E15 is legal upon his signature. And that finally happened yesterday.
Excellent. What are the remaining barriers to seeing E15 for consumers being able to buy E15 at a pump in California?
So there's a couple things, and we are immediately turned to this. So they're the predictive model that really controls gasoline in the state of California. Obviously, E15 sits outside of that predictive model. So California, CARB specifically, will have to, they don't want to open that predictive model. They will admit that themselves. So they will have to extend that E10 certification to E15. At the same time, their stage 2 vapor recovery that is very redundant. E15 has the same or lower reed vapor pressure as E10. Yep. We all know that from what we're seeing in Congress in D.C. So the stage 2 vapor recovery is even more redundant when you look to E15. So we want them to extend that certification as well on the stage 2 vapor recovery system, and then simply recognize the federal requirements that are already there. Once those three boxes are checked, E15 is ready to roll, and we think they can do that in a matter of days, not weeks, not months. And now that E15 is legal fuel, we don't think they're going to do that long rulemaking process that was expected. They do have a workshop scheduled for October 14th, which is just a short few days away. And we expect good results in the coming, like I said, coming weeks.
Okay. What do you expect from as far as consumer response to the availability of E15 out in California? What's your research show you?
Well, let's look at it this way. We have a national average discount of almost 8% right now. You throw that against existing $5 gasoline, and I think the consumer response is going to be very quick and very decisive. And then you throw it against, we had a major refinery explosion last night in California. Yep. You have Valero and another refinery expected to shut down. That will cut off 20% of their capacity. They are importing carbob blending components from countries that the president is looking at putting more tariffs on as the coming months come on. There are additional taxes that have been placed on gasoline. They're looking at $6, $7, $8 gasoline in the state of California. So that discount for E15 continues to climb in the coming months as it comes available to the consumer. So that 30, 40 cent discount has all the opportunity to grow. And so it's not just the consumers that are going to welcome it. It's going to be the retailers that welcome it as well. Yeah. And if one retailer on one corner offers it, the others are going to be very compelled to offer it very quickly.
That's right. That's right. Jim, NCGA, the corn growers, jumped right on this decision by Newsom to sign the bill and said, hey, let's take that momentum out of California and turn it into a federal effort and get nationwide availability of E15, didn't they?
Yeah, we'll see if Congress follows through this time in a must-pass bill at the end of the year. I did want to point out and get some feedback if possible. In other states, E15 availability lagged about 18 to 24 months behind legal approval due to infrastructure and supply adjustments. And I know most California stations aren't certified for E15, and retailers are going to need upgrade tanks, pumps, labeling, etc. Refiners and distributors must retool blending, storage, transportation systems. So hate to be a party pooper, but what timeline will we actually see this fuel available to needy California customers?
That's a common misnomer. Actually, a lot of that's inaccurate. The tanks underground, all of the underground storage components have to be almost E100 compatible by the end of this year. California has a very different rules and regulations regarding fuel retail stations. So everything underground will be compatible by the end of this year. The fuel dispensers, at least half of them have been E10 to move to E15, then E25, and now over half of them are E40 compatible. And then the other side of this the equation with regard to the other dispenser manufacturer, we've been meeting with the equipment suppliers in the state for several weeks now, and they're looking at meter replacements. And then you get to the hanging hardware, and of course we just talked about a stage two requirement. You can't certify equipment for a fuel that's not legal yet. That just happened yesterday, and we expect CARB to extend that certification versus having them to recertify new equipment to meet a new certification that, like I said, doesn't exist. So we think that certification process is not going to be elaborate. We don't think it's going to start from scratch. So the retail stations, we think, are going to be on a very different level than what we've seen in states like Illinois, where we have tanks that are older than I am, in the ground, where they've all been new in the last couple of decades. And you move to the refinery gate, they are at this point going to continue to utilize that carbob that they're using for E10 today and utilize it for E15. That's what all of the tier one through tier three work that we've done in the state of California with CARB has led to at this point. And I think as E15 continues to roll out, they will lower the octane value or level of that carbob and capitalize on that octane value of ethanol. But right now, it's way ahead of what everyone believes.
So what is the realistic timeline on getting E15 available there, Robert?
Well, as soon as CARB provides that interim guidance I was talking about a few minutes ago, we have retailers that will dump fuel in the ground within a day.
Wow. Tyson, it always amazes me that when you start talking about fuel and California, you always rediscover how unique California is, don't you?
Well, look, this is a winning combination for Governor Newsom, right? It's the right politics and it's the right policy. When you consider that at one time, California, yes, that state of California had 40 operating refineries. And as Robert pointed on, Valero and P66 have announced their closures. That would leave them with just 7. You've gone from 40 to 7. So for all the environmental scolds out there, this is a dose of reality and sort of a harsh rebuke. It's great. I mean, I think all of the biofuels groups have done a wonderful job It's a moment in time that presents itself. It sees that, you know, it's good to see. But it's also worth taking a look back at a state that at one time produced one-fifth of the world's oil. So it's an incredible story to continue to be told.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Robert, thank you for hopping on here this morning. Give us an update. We really appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, Chip.
All right. That is Robert White, Senior VP, Industry Relations, Market Development, Renewable Fuels Association. We're going to keep the free-for-all going next here on AgriTalk.
Yield data is worthless unless it's local yield data from fields like yours, that is. At Champion Seed, we don't tout big national yield averages because that doesn't help you make decisions about your fields. Instead, we match seed to your soil with recommendations rooted in agronomic expertise and data from fields close to home. Our hand-picked seed lineup includes a champion for every field. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally, AticusLLC.com.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and Triticale.
Milk markets are mostly higher from Rural Dairy Expo. I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 10 to 1740, December up 5 to 1754, January also up 5 at 1727, February steady at 1717. Meanwhile, live cattle futures are moving up mostly higher. We do have a little bit of short covering happening in the live cattle markets today after a couple of days of recent losses and actually went below support levels, but now we are seeing some short covering in the market. Same goes for feeder cattle, at least in the nearby months. Doesn't really appear there's going to be much in the cash markets for the remainder of the week. But again, we do have some short covering in the nearby. Hogs, though, continue to move lower. Lower cash, lower pork cutout values continue to pressure the market. October live cattle up 20 cents to 230.72. October feeder cattle up $1.20 to 355.50. October hogs down 2 cents to 98.65. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all mostly lower once again. Again, the harvest pressure is what's continuing to pressure the markets. Also, Chinese business for buying beans, nothing yet. And that is also continuing to pressure the markets again. It's that positive weather, the harvest pressure, and the good weather for winter wheat as well, all pressuring the grains. December corn down 2.25 to 419.5. November beans down 3.75 to 1020. And December wheat down 0.25 to 514.5.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Farmers, it's harvest time and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust. Going home.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all here on a Friday morning. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives, and Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group with us. Jim, let's go to something that you said earlier, and that was Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney is set to make a trip to the D.C. What's going on there?
Yeah, he's coming Monday, traveling, and is setting up for a Tuesday meeting at the White House. He wants a little more give on the trade tariffs, Chip. And so it's going to depend what he offers Trump. Will he offer anything on dairy? You know, things like that. So it'll be curious if they have a presser event at the White House on Tuesday to see what happens.
Oh, Carney wouldn't put himself in that position, would he?
He hasn't been afraid before. I'll give him credit.
That's true.
For that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Tyson, what do you make of this meeting?
Well, it's interesting that there was discussion yesterday, too, about what lies ahead for USMCA. Will it be renegotiated, or will it simply be a review? And you saw some comments yesterday from Mexican Economic Minister and our own U.S. Trade Representative about that it's going to be more of a series of bilateral negotiations than, you know, a trilateral negotiation. Now, obviously, at the end of the day, if you look at the underlying authority for USMCA, sort of all three parties need to get on the same page for it to continue, obviously, as USMCA and not some, you know, US-Canada agreement or US-Mexico agreement. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's for Washington and folks in Washington, it's just another reminder that between now and next July, you know, USMCA is squarely back in the focus point for ag and for broader trade policy.
Yeah.
And Chip, no doubt. Trump wants a grander bargain. He wants to talk defense, energy, autos, including his proposed Golden Dome missile defense system. So all that could be involved in next week's talks.
All right. All right. Yeah. So really, it could be really broad on the conversation. Tyson, what messages do we take from the Truth Social post that Trump put out that he's going to meet with Xi in 4 weeks? Any signals to take from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a breakthrough is near. You know, the president and the premier, when they spoke by phone a few weeks ago, I think it was reported that on the side of the ASEAN conference, October 31st, I think, through November 2nd would be, you know, sort of the first opportunity the two leaders have to see each other and shake hands. And, you know, the deal maker that the president, you know, I think rightly and certainly with a lot of gusto promotes, you know, is going to be on display. You know, the interesting thing is the president has, in my opinion, has really sought out the opportunity to get together with Xi. So this is going to be that. And then, you know, you hear on the heels of that, the president may go to China, which would be enormously symbolic for a whole host of reasons.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it would be something entirely negative, Chip, I think, if they come away from that meeting on the ASEAN conference without sort of anything.
Right.
I mean, the president wants stuff to be able to announce. And so, you know, I'm hoping there will be a breakthrough there.
Yep, exactly. Tyson, that's an awesome point, because Jim, what he's already doing is he's raising is some kind of a deal to be had.
Oh, watch China. What does Xi Jinping want for giving a bit on the TikTok sale and using soybeans as leverage to get what Xi Jinping wants. So I want to see what is going to be counter-offered. Now, if they can work a deal, fine. But I want to know what China wants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Hey, let's move to the financial assistance package and all the conversation there. Jim, Treasury Secretary Bessent commented yesterday that there are details coming on Tuesday. What's the latest?
If the government's open, maybe. But if the government is still shut down, I don't think that you'll see an announcement. It's interesting why Bessent has been Chatty Cathy on this one. Some people tell me it's because he's been being hit by a sledgehammer on the $20 billion bond swap with Argentina. And so that's why I think he's offered some interesting comments. In the news portion, we heard we have some details. I would question that. Just think of perspective, Chip. When we were in a U.S.-China war under Trump 1.0, taxpayers provided $28 billion in farmer aid. Much of that went to soybeans. Now we're in a overall trade war relative to our trade tariff with most countries. Yeah. $10 to $14 billion, it sounds a lot even in Washington, but that's not going to even come close to the eventual, the administration plus Congress farmer aid package. Trust me on that one.
Hmm.
And the Wall Street Journal was wrong. Was wrong by saying the Commodity Credit Corporation is basically out of funding. Absolutely incorrect. They've got about $4 to $5 billion remaining. So that'll be a portion of it. What is most concerning, Chip, that we can't get an explanation of it. I know why Trump keeps saying that he'll use the tariff revenue, but you talk to any trade lawyer or lawmaker with any knowledge of this, and it's not that easy. It goes into the Treasury. There's going to have to be some legislative rewrite or a very creative lawyer within the administration, and we've seen more than a few of them, to actually tap that revenue. So the Wall Street Journal story today raised more questions than answers. And this is just not a soybean issue. Look at sorghum. Oh, my goodness. Look at cotton. Yep. 6-month lows. This is spread across many commodities.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, the top end of the range that I've heard sounds like 14, but it's 40 for the top end of the potential range.
35 to 40 billion, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Tyson, what's your take?
Well, I'll pick up on one point Jim made. I mean, it's interesting that you have the Treasury Secretary, who I think might be the most respected, along with Marco Rubio, might be the most respected member of the president's inner circle. And then you have Kevin Hassett, who's the chairman of the National Economic Council, right? So those are the two that have been sort of the most outspoken or sort of most identified on what this looks like and when it may come out. I just think that's interesting. It's noteworthy, it's newsworthy that you have the president's two top economic advisors sort of, you know, making the statements and making the pitch for this amongst national media. No doubt that this issue has become, you know, the incredible, beautiful soybean has become sort of a bigger symbol for, you know, the president's trade policies, president's economic policies, you know, sort of where we're at on this international stage in terms of trade policy.
Right. Yeah, Kevin Hassett's comments on this, quote, Congress has already given a huge amount of authority to the Secretary of Agriculture to help farmers in a circumstance like this. And the question of whether Congress will need to act depends on whether China starts to buy the soybeans. Jim, it's been a long time since we've seen this intense of a spotlight from D.C. on a very specific agricultural commodity. And the leadership in the bean industry, they seem to be taking advantage and making some right steps and pushing for the aid on this. What's your grade on how the industry is doing?
Absolutely, for the soybeans. They should, because China has purchased L0 from new crops. So, yeah, they're hurting by the hour, not the day or the month on that one. And of the two on this one, I would tend to follow Kevin Hassett, because I think he's been in more of the internal meetings on this one. And I think he knows the back alleys of some of these complex programs, including Section 32.
Yeah, so in other words, what Hassett is saying is, if the government remains shut down, could USDA just kind of say, listen, this is how we're going to do it?
Well, they can, but I don't think that they will. I mean, Rollins canceled her trip to Japan because the government was closed. And again, if the government's closed, it would, you know, I would be surprised. Tyson, what do you think? If the government's closed Tuesday...
Yeah, I don't think he can operationalize it. No. I really don't. Now, I am of the opinion that the Senate's going to find a way to pass the CR to get the government reopened by this time next week. Yes, I know I'm going out there on that, but that's just my gut and my intuition, having watched these shutdowns, even with my proximity to leadership over my career. So I don't know if it'll be open by Tuesday, to Jim's point. But, yeah, I think you got to – look, it – whether they announce it or not, you're not going to be able to operationalize it, right, until the government's open, because we've already seen payments this week have stopped.
Yes.
So government has to be open for any real impact to be felt from that assistance.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to pick it up there and talk a little bit more about the government shutdown when we come back. What's it going to take to get this reopened? When it does reopen, what does it mean about some of the information, some of the market information, some of the info that the market is looking for? What does it mean for that? We'll discuss it next. You're on the free-for-all.
When the game is on...
This sandwich, it's a complete game changer. Hello, this is Mike, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club is that juicy chicken with that toasty pretzel bun. That bun, it's crispy, cozy, just amazing. With the pretzel bun, the Dijon mustard, and the chicken, it makes that sweet, savory kind of combination. It's everything that you love about food rolled into one. It looks phenomenal. It tastes great. It's delicious.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with Cherry Berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonial.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. Do you feel stupid for buying a timeshare? Don't. It's not your fault. You were most likely told you could rent it, and it was a great financial investment. And the deal was available today only. If this happened to you, contact your resort or Wesley Financial Group for help today.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-791-1313. 800-791-1313.
Andy Dole, sixth-generation farmer from Illinois. He works closely with Syngenta. You can find him on his YouTube channel, A Trippy Farmer. Andy, a lot of growers say that they're doing everything that they can, and they're still seeing some weed escapes. What was the case for you with water hemp?
Yeah, water hemp's been a tough little opponent for us on our farm for at least a decade. We've had outbreaks in fields that seem to just snowball into problems that last for seemingly season after season with a very hefty weed bank from the seed population. We have found the most success fighting this water hemp by investing a larger portion of our herbicide budget up front and being less reactive on the backside, trying to control it with post-emergence products all the time.
Okay, so any specific products that you're using because of what happened in 2024?
Yeah, we've had a lot of luck with Syngenta's Tendova herbicide. It is a pre-emergence, heavy residual product, three modes of action. It targets small-seeded, large-seeded, broadleafs, and, of course, your grasses. And the combination of those three different ingredients really covers all your bases and provides you some pretty stout control to get your soybeans off to the races quickly.
All right, how does the crop handle it? I mean, as far as any crop energy with Tendova.
We've not seen any issues on our farm. I think that's a very important consideration, though, is crop safety. There are other products on the market that are effective at stopping water hemp. The issue with some of these products is they don't check the second box, which is slowing down your soybeans. If you hurt these soybeans, you don't allow them to get to canopy. That is a lack of a cultural control, and that canopy is crucial to shading out water hemp and other weeds later in the season.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Andy, where can listeners go for more information about Tendova?
They can either talk to their preferred retailer, their Syngenta representative in their territory, or go to Syngenta's website.
All right. Thank you, Andy. That is a trippy farmer, Illinois farmer Andy Dole.
Hi, this is Rick Swenson, corn product manager at Peterson. We know one size fits all doesn't work in corn. Every field has its own personality, its own challenges, and its own potential. That's why we plant thousands of replicated corn plots across our region every season, testing hybrids in the same soils and conditions that you farm. If it doesn't perform for us, it won't be in your bag, period.
Hey there, I'm Scott Sanders with Peterson Farm Seed, and now's the time to lock into your 2026 order with Promise Plus. Early orders earn rewards points you can redeem for everything from grain augers to paddle boards. And with 0% financing at your local bank or through John Deere Financing, your seed order works harder for you from day one.
Talk to your local Peterson dealer now about 2026 or find us online at petersonfarmseed.com. Let's match the right hybrid to your acres and get the best rewards in your hands. Peterson. Seed smarter, grow stronger.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.19% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us on this Friday morning. Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives Podcast, and Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group with us on the free-for-all today. So, Tyson, what is it going to take to get the government funded, get it reopened, and what kind of restart pains might we feel?
Well, I think, first of all, if you look at what is, you know, this is the time where each side sort of has their list of demands. But however, I would point out for those students of modern shutdown history that what's unique about this is it's typically Republicans, right, who either want border wall funding, build the wall, or defund Obamacare, right? Those have been the sort of crux of the last two shutdowns. What's interesting about this is Republicans are now on the side of saying, look, we just want a clean CR. And so the tables have turned, the uniforms have switched out. What it's going to take, I think, is just some type of assurance to Senate Democrats that they will discuss the expiring enhanced Affordable Care Act health care tax subsidies. The reason I put my words enhanced in there is, remember, this is a COVID-era enhancement of those tax subsidies. It was something that was done in 2021 that they increased the income thresholds. And it's not that these tax credits are going away at year's end. That is incorrect. That is misreported. It's just that higher level is going to revert back to a lower level before COVID, that was in law before COVID. The other point here, Chip, it's the end of the year. We're in October. There's plenty of time between now and December 31st. There's going to have to be a year-end wrap-up spending bill. There's going to have to be other discussions that are had between now and year's end. So, look, just everybody go to the Senate floor, get your assurances that this will be taken care of, and reopen the government.
Yep. Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you. Jim, can it happen that way?
It that's about the only way it can happen. But the Republicans are going to have to get something. Reform of Obamacare that, like the insurance companies, are clearly milking Obamacare. X number of enrollees have never filed any claims. Now, you tell me if something's wrong with that one. And two, yes, the extra, the enhanced one that Tyson talked about, oh, that's just $200 billion. Worth, so yeah. they're gonna have to cut that out, and if they can get an agreement to seriously discuss this with official statements by both parties, there's your ingredients for a lifting of the U.S. government shutdown. Yeah, it can happen, and it could happen next week. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I think, Chip, the thing to point out to your listeners is, look, there are 33 Democrats that have voted to reopen the government, and so in those initial votes. I've been around long enough. If you see cracks that early in the process, I mean, the very first vote, Fetterman, Senator Cortez Masto, Senator Angus King all voted to reopen the government. All right. So Democrats from the outset were not unified. So there are cracks there. That's why I feel like, look, a little more time goes by here, you'll get the necessary votes.
So a little bit more time goes by. We get things open, let's say, by Monday afternoon. Jim, can we save the October crop production and
that's
and
what WASDE I was reports? Asked today. I'd want to hear it from NASS.
I do too.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. It depends on the timeline. Yeah. I don't think it would be as of October 1 then, Chip. I don't think it could from a survey methodology. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure what it's going to do, and I'm not exactly sure what they are going to do. I don't know if they know what they are going to do.
I don't think they do.
They want it
into the shutdown, and then they can make a decision, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't rule it out, Chip, but I want to hear it from NASS.
Exactly. Okay. Jim, what do you take from the split in at Corteva? To New Corteva and SpinCo?
Well, I listened. I was on their call in which you heard their chief financial officer, their CEOs, and I thought they gave a pretty good case of why they split it up. The names were kind of odd, you know, on them, I think. What were they?
New Corteva and SpinCo.
And SpinCo, SpinCo, I don't like because of the word spin, you know.
Yeah.
But they have a good track record. Remember when they initially split, if you will, from DuPont? I mean, the Corteva has really delivered for their investors. So I like success. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, Tyson. Does it get on your radar?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always interesting from our vantage point, right? Because those of us who have worked in this space long enough, you know, it's you see these things in business, right? You go from this period of let's join up, let's marry up, let's merge, let's acquire to this period of hey, now it's time to divest, and now it's time to sort of divorce and separate. It's always interesting to watch. It's always something to sort of see how corporate America adjusts and how, you know, being stewards of shareholder value is the most important thing. And whatever that takes, right, with changing dynamics in the marketplace, that's what they do.
Right. Chip, I just got an email from CARB. They're saying they have a scoping workshop on E15 set for October the 14th with a public comment period October 14th to November 12th. So I still think it's going to take longer to get this thing implemented. We'll see at the workshop.
Yep, very good, very good. You know, on the Corteva thing, Chuck Magro, the CEO at Corteva, is going to lead SpinCo, the seed side of the company, and Pioneer. I think that tells us a lot right there where the future might lie. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group. Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives. Come back this afternoon.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastat Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastat.com. Available for the 2027 season.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate this hour is taking up one of the votes to help stop the government shutdown. One is a GOP.